Are you ready for homeschooling to feel joyful again? Do you long for support as you learn alongside your kids? Welcome to Homeschool Better Together, a podcast about building a homeschool experience that works for your family. I'm Pam Barnhill, and it's time to step out of the overwhelm and into the wonder. Let's do this. Tracy Matney is a work-from-home mom of two, and she's homeschooling her 8-year-old son all the way from, like, pre-K, and now she's doing that while chasing a 14-month-old baby. The last couple of years have been a whirlwind for her family. They've been displaced from their home while a new one was being built. They had to have a home birth at somebody else's home because they weren't in their own house, which is just crazy. They moved with a 2-week-old, and then they needed the 2-week-old needed open heart surgery at 4 months old. So, like Tracy, everything has been absolutely crazy for you. Homeschooling has looked different in each season, but like you're finding your stride, you're staying flexible, you're committed, and you're learning to let go of perfectionism. And welcome to the podcast. It is so good to have you.
Thank you. People always say, you've been through a lot. And I'm like, yeah, when you read all that back, I'm like, yeah, I kind of have, I guess.
Right. And when I reached out to you, you're like, oh, we were displaced because of a fire, but it wasn't like the most recent round of fires. This was a couple years ago, right?
No, it was in September. So it was not the LA fires. We're like an hour from that. So this this fire was an arsonist, and it was 0.4 miles from our brand new house.
And
we evacuated for 5 days. Luckily, it burned 50,000 acres of forest, but it didn't burn any homes. The firefighters protected all the homes, but the air quality was awful. And so with a baby who has heart condition, and it was crazy. So definitely homeschooled in a lot of different places in the last 2 years, for sure.
And under, like, duress. I mean, seriously, there was just a lot of stress and major life things. It wasn't just that you were kind of moving around because of things. It was like there were a lot of stressful situations.
I mean, not even adding the baby, like, pretend like I, you know, hadn't even thought about her yet. I was pregnant with her and I was so excited. But then our landlord asked us to move out. That's what happened, is she was like, hey, I'm going to be selling the house. So, you know, she gave us like 2 months. So, like, we had to look for a house, and the rent prices in California are crazy. So we were like, okay, we've been married at this point, like 12 years. So we're like, let's just buy a house. So then we started that whole process. And so we bought a new build, but then it got delayed. It was supposed to be ready. So we were only supposed to live with in-laws for like a month or two. That turned into 6 months. So we lived in various different places because, you know, hopefully the in-laws
are listening
to this podcast, but that was crazy. Yes, I was definitely going to have a home birth, but I was like, yeah, I'll be able to have a home birth because she was born December 26th. So I was like, you know, the house will be ready in September. That's plenty of time to nest. No, because the house wasn't ready till January. So luckily I had a beautiful friend who also homeschools and has home births. And she's like, you can just live in my back house and birth a baby there. So that was a beautiful experience. But definitely homeschooling through all of that, like at my in-laws who don't really support homeschooling, at like we were house sitting for people from our church because I just didn't want to be at that house. I was like, hey, anyone need a house sitter? So like we went and stayed at other people's houses for 3 weeks. And, you know, so setting up our homeschool space in various places really helped me, I guess, do the main things, like the most important things, like our Bible study. We prioritized that, like language arts and math. And then everything else just kind of fell into place, you know.
Right. I love that so much. Okay. So that was my question. How did you manage to keep going through it all? And you're like, you made the main things the main thing. I think Sarah McKenzie, that's one of the things she says. And so
I'm not from her.
Yes. And so you did your Bible study every day. You did your language arts and you did your math. And honestly, that is the heart of what any 7-year-old needs, you know, are those things right there. And then everything else really is just gravy. And you can do a lot of things with library books and with games and just, you know, reading and all of that stuff. Before we started recording, you had said that your husband had read The Magician's Nephew with your son.
Yeah, they always read at night and they're going through all the Chronicles of Narnia. So it's fun to just like, we do a lot of read alouds ever since he was like born. You know, we've read to him. And so he loves to read. And now he's 8, 8 and a half, and he's reading like 4th or 5th grade level because I think we've read to him so much that now, like, now that, by the way, now that he can read, homeschooling is so much easier. Teaching a child to read is so hard. But now that he can read, like, he can do so much more independent work. So that was one other thing that I think helped us through it is we switched up our math curriculum. So I did a different one for TK. In California, they call it TK. It's basically kindergarten, but a little early because his birthday is September. So he's a little bit young for that grade. So we did 2 years of kindergarten, basically. And we did a couple different math things. But now we use Beast Academy.
Okay.
And it's online, but it's for gifted kids in math. And he's just so good at math. But I love that it teaches them, and it's a little comic book. And so he can sit down and do his math now. And so I'm kind of like screen free as much as possible. But when it comes to certain things in this season where I have an infant and now she's a toddler toddling around everywhere, I can be like, here's your assignments. Go sit down and do it. You know, like we do Fix It Grammar from IEW, and he has his little grammar thing. So he can like open up, it says day 3, he knows to write the date, and he can just do his language arts and his math independently. And of course, I check it and we do it together, some of it. But most of the time, it's like our time together is on the other stuff, you know, like Story of the World. We use that for history and sitting down and like listening to the stories and discussing it, you know, or doing like a science experiment. I learned many times not to just let him do that independently. Those don't usually work out. So those are the things that I make sure that like I'm eyeball to eyeball with him on, you know, but certain things like, you know, I think learning independence and autonomy is a really important skill, especially in like the way our culture runs. And so he's only 8. So I have to have some grace there with some of it.
100%. Yeah.
But that's been a huge skill, especially he has pretty severe ADHD. And so having him be able to focus for a time period is a pretty big win. So
I love it. I love it. Okay. So how did you decide what was the most important thing to focus on during these different seasons of homeschooling, especially in times where you had to scale back?
Well, I mean, our faith is key. I mean, when we're off on our Bible study, when we haven't been spending time together as a family, everything gets messy. And I noticed that like when we as a family do our morning time together, everything else works better. My husband and I both own our own businesses, and they're totally separate, different businesses. Like mine's a remote marketing agency. His is like a brick and mortar board game store. And so his hours are kind of different because, you know, it's a retail store. So he's open in the evening. So we don't have a lot of like family dinner time together. We set those aside. Like we have 2 nights a week that we're like committed to being home for family dinner, but it doesn't work as well in the evenings. But our morning is like, we've got to be together because otherwise we're not going to see each other. It's like ships in the night, and I don't want it to be like that. So for me, it's like the morning, like having breakfast together, doing our family Bible study has been really important for that. So then that even became like reading, you know, like I was part of a women's Bible study, and they have a kids class too. And the kids have their own book. So we were going through the book of Revelation, which was like a little intense to do with little kids, you know, but so like the women were going through Revelation. So we had our own homework, and then he had his own homework too. I didn't even do mine. Like I did not do mine because I just did it with him. So like, it was like asking the questions. It had him underline and circle things. And so he was getting language arts because he's reading, he's circling, he's understanding. It's comprehension questions. And then he's getting his Bible at the same time. And we're getting family time. So to me, like, that was the core piece of everything. And then, of course, like, the core main subjects are reading, writing, arithmetic. You know?
Right.
It's like, I think I just kind of knew that. But yeah.
Yeah. So homeschooling with a newborn is hard.
I would say the newborn was easier than now, to be honest.
Okay. So yes, you have just opened a can of worms. I have always said that. Like everybody's like, oh my gosh, I'm about to have a baby. This first year is going to be horrible. And I'm like, no. The second year is going to be horrible. The first year is just going to be hard.
Right.
But the once they start moving.
Right. That was hard. I think it's harder now that she's walking because she's into everything. So when she was a baby, I could just be like holding her. I could wear her. I could just like be nursing her and talking to him. She napped so much more, you know. Mm-hmm. Now it's like she's transitioning from 2 naps to 1 nap. So thank goodness. Like we schedule this when she's napping right now. And my husband's here working from home today. So I'm like, if she wakes up, you got to go get her. But it's like to trying to coordinate like the timing of everything. has been tricky, I think, with more of a toddler. So that's definitely harder, but I'm kind of in the throes of that. But again, keeping the main things important, and then everything else just kind of falls in place. Like we don't do science and history all at the same time. We don't do five subjects a day, you know, And that's, I think I've had to release that because I'm a type A, straight A student. My mom was a kindergarten teacher up until my brothers were born. And then so I was very much like, okay, this is how it should be. So like, it's been a process of, I guess, de-schooling and being like, you know what? Education is actually a lot different than I thought. And as an entrepreneur now, I'm like, I don't even know if my son's going to go to college, like normal college. Like I look at this and I go, man, he's 10 years from now and he's 18. College is going to look so much different. And I think like for my generation, it was like, college is the only answer. Like you have to go to college. If you don't go to college, like what are you going to do? But it's like nowadays with everything with AI coming out and like I use AI a lot in my business. I use it in homeschooling. It's like, things are going to look so much different for college 10 years from now. So I'm like, what are the practical skills that he needs to know? Time management, cooking, like taking care of his sister. He put her down for her nap yesterday.
Aww.
I'm like, because I had a lady coming to my house to like look at some plants, things we're planting in our yard. And like, those are things that I think you can't learn in a normal school environment. And so it's like, yes, he needs to learn how to spell mostly, but his spelling is terrible. He's an awful speller. So I'm like, there's spell check. You know, like some things I think are important and some things are not. So I don't know. I think that that's probably been my biggest thing is just releasing all this stress of it all and just going, it's going to be okay because he's thriving. Like he's doing really well with his friendships. Like that is huge. Like being able to communicate with other people. He had a lemonade stand and made like over $100. You know, it's like.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, he was like running up and down the street. He was like negotiating. He was like, hey, I can add strawberries for an extra dollar. Like, so those are the things like he's going to do fine in life, you know, and he doesn't necessarily need to have a perfectly written paragraph, you know.
Right. Okay. So hold on. We got to get back to the nugget though. Not only did you have a baby, you had a baby who had heart surgery at four months old. So how did that come, like, was there ever a moment where you were like, I'm not sure I could keep doing this homeschooling thing because things just got really crazy?
Definitely. Yes. We live, I don't know, 5-minute walk from a very good elementary school. Like of all the elementary schools, this is one of the best ones. And I have several teacher friends who were like, oh, they're so excited. You're right next to that school. Like, and I'm like, well, but I'm not going to put him in the school. And then as all of these things were unfolding, when she was born, everything was fine. And then we moved in and it was like, we're trying to add things to our house and trying to take her to all of her appointments. And then we realized she's going to need open heart surgery, which was like devastating. You know, she's totally okay now. If anyone's listening going, oh my God, like she's doing great. I would see the school bus go by and I'd be like, you know what? I could just enroll him. Like, it'll be fine. It was like around this time last year, March 2024. I was like, I can just put him in for the end of the school year just to give me a break, just to get him through so he can have that classroom experience. You know, he was also complaining a lot about doing homeschool. He was like, this is dumb. Like, why do I have to do this? My friends, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, your friends are in school for 8 hours a day and they're sitting down at a desk way more than you. You don't even understand how much that. So I'm like, I'm just going to put you in school and then you'll understand.
Been there.
Yeah. So like I did. I like went to the school website. I filled out the forms. I started doing all of that. And I was like talking to my friends who are elementary teachers in the area and getting advice from them. And so many of them were like, yes, they would be so great for him with ADHD. Like they would be able to help him. He could get a 504 plan. Like they were very encouraging. So I was in a moment of weakness, you know? And so I filled all the forms and the school emailed me back and they were like, oh, well, he's missing these like four shots. And one of the main reasons why I started homeschooling when he was younger is because they needed like so many vaccines. And in California, there's no medical exemption or anything like that allowed. It used to be. He actually has a medical exemption from some reactions he had, but it's all invalid now. They don't care. Like every single kid has to have it. And so that kind of stopped me. And I was like, all right, Tracy, like you can do this. Like, and I went back to my book because I have a book that has all the reasons why I homeschool. Like, and it was a letter to yourself that I had written a long time ago. I have like 12 reasons I homeschool. Like shots is one of them, you know, but it really helps me go, okay, you want to spend time with him. God is going to grow you through the process of homeschooling a difficult high needs child. And
right.
I hate using that word difficult because like he is such a brilliant, like beautiful boy, but he's also ADHD can be really challenging and impulsive and hyperactive and, you know, just can't focus. Like he'll sit there and stare off into Never Never Land. And I'm like, hey, but, and he's like, oh yeah. You know, and it's like, God, I really do think God is teaching me patience through that. And it's like, you want to be a patient person. Well, you have to have moments of patience. And so I've been dealing
with have moments of impatience to practice to be exactly. a patient person.
That's what
yeah.
I mean. Yeah. You have yeah. to have moments to practice patience. And I mean, I also like really heavily leaned on community. Like I didn't try to do it all myself because I realized that I couldn't. And so we have a really awesome co-op that we're a part of. I'm one of the leaders of, and I didn't lead that year. Like I basically was like, hey, I'm going to need like 6 months where someone else is leading. Like we're going to still come and be a part of community, but I didn't try to say like, okay, I'm still going to be able to be the leader of this co-op and still recruit new. Like I just couldn't do all of that. Couldn't coordinate all the different speakers and everything. And so we had family that helped us. We had people bringing us meals to help with the baby. So I didn't have to try to cook, you know? So I think I always encourage people to lean into community. And if you're homeschooling, like you have your reasons. So first of all, if you haven't written them down, you should write them down. And so that you can look at them in moments of weakness like that. And so yeah. I basically just, you know, I stopped the process of putting him in school and I just took some deep breaths and I took a step back and I was like, let's just not, why am I trying to make sure that he gets through all this curriculum? Like, that's not even important. What's important is that like our family connection, that's like the most important thing because he's going to learn the academics. And he is like the last, now that it's been a year almost, like he's blossomed. He's doing great, especially like when I said reading, it's like that's made a big difference. But our relationships are good. And that's critical.
I love it. I love it. Well, let's talk a little bit about autopilot. So put your homeschool year on autopilot. What kind of drew you to this method of planning to begin with?
I think whenever I met you at the homeschool convention, I listened to your sessions and then I came over to your booth and I was like, okay, I am a planner. I love planning. I like the cute little stickers. I like adding all the things. So I was like, this sounds fun. And so I was like, let's do it. Oh, and then you had like a planning day. I was like, wait, so I can like schedule a whole day to focus on this. So I think it was the fun that attracted it to me. But then
okay, you're like not very many people describe homeschool planning as fun. You are so my people.
That's funny. It's so fun. Like I actually, I when I was looking at this today before our meeting, I was like, I need to do this again because now that I have like so many things in place, it's easier. Like I have definitely been in survival mode and winging it for the past year. And so, but I don't really feel like I'm winging it, but just thinking it through, I'm like, yeah, you're right. I didn't fill out any forms for this year. I didn't go through and like write it all down. Like my planner that's sitting over here is still on like November. Like I haven't, you know, you fill it out each month and you write your to-do. Like I'm just literally in survival mode because I took a year off with the baby and now I'm back at work. And so there's just a lot going on. But I think what initially attracted me to it was I like having a plan. I feel more confident when I'm like, I know what I'm doing. And I also was a brand new homeschooler. And I remember talking to you and my son was like 5. And I was like, what about math? And what about this? And you're like, he's 5. And I was like, yeah, he's 5. He's like a kindergartner. You're like, but he's just 5. And I think because he's so verbal and he's so well-spoken, I've always, and everybody around us has always thought of him as older than he is. It's right. Like, he's been more mature, at least verbally. And now I'm seeing so many things like emotionally, behaviorally, that he's not as mature. But because he's so well-spoken, I thought all these high things. But I think you were like, hey, have fun with kindergarten. Just read to him. Just enjoy him. Just do fun things. And I was like, yeah, but I need to have like all these things in line. And I think going through, you know, the books and the course, it's like, what is like your homeschool vision? So I wrote it down and it's like, pretty straightforward. We actually all signed it. Like we made our commitment to each other of like what we wanted our vision to be. And it's like the Matney family seeks to glorify God by loving God and one another. Like that is our family vision. That doesn't have to do with school, but like that's our family vision. So if that's like the core of who we are as a family, everything should flow out of that. So if we're sitting down and we're doing a writing lesson, which like I said, spelling, writing, it's been definitely a headache. And I find myself getting really frustrated and we're yelling at each other about it. I'm like, Hold on. Are we glorifying God and loving one another in this moment? No, not at all. So let's take a break and you go play outside and I'm going to take some deep breaths and get some coffee, you know? So it's like, but when I first
Sometimes that vision can be so darn convicting.
Yeah, that is convicting, right? And that's like just our family vision. You know, so looking at like the homeschool vision, it's like, I want my son to be confident and I want him to be able to be independent as an adult. And I want him to be a leader. And so if I look at those things of what I want him to be, I want him to be a good, solid communicator. I want him to be able to comfortably go out and talk to people. I mean, all of those things kind of dictate what I decide to do. We do a lot with public speaking, mainly because of what I do. And I help our kids out at co-op. Like, we do public speaking every time at co-op. And so many of the kids I see, they're very nervous to get up in front. But I'm like, this is such a critical skill in life to be able to go and present. Like, even if you're like an engineer and a scientist and you work behind the scenes, you still have to be able to go present your findings to someone. And so I think like having that vision helped me a lot. And I never even considered it until like I came up to your booth and I was like, oh yeah, I guess I should have like a vision and a plan. And I didn't know anything about loop schedule versus this time. And I think I was like, okay, at 9 a.m. we're going to do this. And then at 10 a.m. we're going to do this. And I realized like that does not work for our family. So like learning about the loop schedule and like, so that's, you tell me what it's called that we do, but it's like, okay, we're going to pick up our grammar book. What's the next lesson in there? Okay, now we're picking up this book. And I give him a little more autonomy of like, do you want to do math or English first?
Right.
You know,
it's so interesting. You said, I haven't really been planning. You know, my planner over here is still on November, but you also said earlier, y'all just keep doing the next thing. And that's what autopilot does for you. That's the whole system. It's like you get your vision in place, you figure out what's important. Yeah. So when life gets crazy, we're going to do these important things and we're just going to get open it up and do the next thing. And so that's the beauty of the situation that you went through. Like, you're like, well, I didn't plan. You didn't have to. Because that's your really homeschool year was already on autopilot.
That's a good point. I did the planning 2-3 years ago. I set the foundation. And then, I do like stick things in. Like I went to Costco and I bought like way too much zucchini. You know, they buy everything's in huge amount of bulks. I can only eat so much roasted zucchini. So I'm looking at it in my fridge going, I'm going to make like shredded zucchini brownies or something. I'm like, we're in fractions right now. Boom. We're going to double the recipe. We're going to do some adding fractions. Like, there's a fun, like, St. Patrick's Day green thing.
I love
you know what
it.
I mean? Because, like, I don't go, like, oh, let me go on Pinterest and find the perfect St. Patrick's Day plan. It's like, what am I going to do this afternoon? This is what we're going to do.
Zucchini's green. It's St. Patrick's Day. It's perfect.
Yeah. But it's like that. I'm kind of impulsive, too. I probably have ADHD undiagnosed. It's like, that's what I mean, though. It's like, I didn't plan, like, with forms. I didn't, like, sit down and do it. But I have, like, ideas. And I'm like, it fits in because we're still doing the main things.
That's right. Yeah. And I was going to say that, you know, you mentioned earlier, like, I'm type A, I'm having to learn to loosen up. But having the safety of those like three basics, those three or four main things that you do, no matter what, you know, even when the baby's having surgery, even when we have to move houses, you know, even when the 14-month-old is like, I'm having to chase her, we're still doing our main things. But that gives you the freedom and the flexibility to throw in the St. Patrick's Day zucchini activity, you know, because you feel so comfortable and confident in your main things that you're doing and you know they fit your vision. So,
Well, and I know that I see the outcome because I see like him advancing in those subjects. Like, it's fun. And I know some people are like opposed to testing, but because we homeschool through a charter in California, we get funding from the state. So in order to get that funds, we have to use their testing. And I don't actually mind it because I feel like life has tests. And I think in the world, you're going to have to take tests. Like, if you want to go to college, you got to take the SAT, you know, you need it. So we do iReady. And it's really fun for me to see his like advancing each like semester. I'm like, oh, actually he really is growing in this. So on days when I'm feeling like, man, we didn't even do like math for 4 days, or like we totally like missed this subject, whatever, it's like I look at it and I go, you know what, he's actually growing, and it's a good way for me too. So I think that's encouraging too. It's like, I don't know if everybody that homeschools has an opportunity to do any kind of testing, but these assessments to me help me. It's kind of like, oh, pat on the back. he scored fifth grade level for reading. I'm like, that's so exciting. And that's because of me. Like, you know, like, yes, he's a hard working student, but also I taught him that. And it's just, it feels good. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I hear a lot from homeschool moms who, you know, they always feel like, you know, am I doing enough? Am I doing enough? And then their kids take a test and they're like, oh yeah, wow, I am. 100%. Yeah. Well, what encouragement would you give to homeschool moms who feel like life keeps throwing curveballs at their homeschool plans?
I would say, first of all, take a step back and pray about it. You know, lean on community, whether that's your husband, your friends who homeschool. If you're not part of a homeschool community, whether it's online or in person, I like both, because when I'm like at home, I need the online. And when I'm like, I like my kids to have play dates and whatever. Like, it's nice to be like, I didn't even talk about this. We swap with one of my friends during that season. We haven't done it in this past year because she's fostering a new baby right now. But she would like take my son for an afternoon. And she's very good at like the independent work. She likes that kind of thing and supervising them. And I like the projects, like the baking and the science things. And so her kids would come over to my house on Monday afternoon. So then like I would get a break and she would get a break with our kids.
Oh, I love it.
But then our kids are getting to learn in a group setting. And so to me, it's like, that was really fun. I didn't even care what they got done over there. It was like, I got an afternoon off and it's like, they get time together, you know? And so to me, the encouragement is lean on other people and also take a step back and what are the main things, you know, really evaluate, like, is it really that important that your kid learns how to diagram a sentence right now in this hard time? You know, like spelling has been one of those fights. It's like, I don't know how many times we've talked about how to spell the word what, like W-H-A-T, but like he still writes it different every single time. Like sometimes he puts W-U-T, sometimes he puts W-A-T. And I'm like,
it'll click one day, by the way.
Right. It really and it will. Just hasn't clicked. So I'm like,
it just hasn't like, clicked. It will.
I was on the spelling team in middle school and high school. Like I went to spelling competition.
Okay, but 8 years old is not middle school. And
no,
high
I know.
School.
But like
there
me,
is a developmental spot that they get to and different kids get to it at different ages. And one day it will click and it will totally make sense.
Yeah.
But even like having the word on a list and being able to spell it on a spelling test on the list doesn't mean that when he's using the word, he's going to use the word correctly.
Right.
And one day, Tracy, I promise, it's going to click. He's not okay. going to be 27 years old and still spelling what, W-U-T. He's going to know how to spell it.
Good. And but that's one of those things that we were just having so many arguments with spelling. And it wasn't just
fighting over
test.
The spelling.
Right. Well, so that's why I was like, you know what? We're going to do something else right now. And I ordered that Fix-It Grammar book. And I'm like, let's do grammar. Because like, he loves stories and he likes that. And so the Fix-It Grammar has been cool because it's really easy for him to do himself. And I'm like, we'll come back to spelling. So I think that's my encouragement is like, if it's not working for you, like you don't have to keep doing it. You don't even have to finish the book. Like that's one thing that I was like, what? I bought this book or I got this book and like, I should finish it because what if we pick up something else and then he misses something? But I'm like, you know what? If I never finish this exact spelling book, it will be okay. And that is hard for me. That release. That's really hard because I'm like, no, I have to do it all.
But you don't. You don't.
But I don't. I don't. So.
I love it. Isn't it interesting how homeschooling is just as much about our growth as it is theirs?
Yep. That is 100% true. I think parenting in general, but homeschooling just adds a whole nother layer. It's like, yeah. As a parent, God gives us the kids that are like ours. Like he knew who he was giving us. And he knew, like, he knows us. Like, he knows us so intimately that he knows, like, what we need. And he knows that our kids need us. And so I think that that's, like, that makes me a little bit emotional. Because when I think about the hard times with my son, I also think, like, wow, like, God was working on me, too. You know, it wasn't just like, oh, there's this sinful little child that you have to deal with. Oh, no, what about Tracy's sin? And, like, the anger that has come out of me has been really hard. Like, it's like, I'm tired. Like, my baby is still not sleeping through the night. So it's like, there's days that I'm just like, I want to yell. And I have, over the last 2 years, dramatically decreased that. I mean, I was raised in a yelling household. So was my husband. And it's not healthy. And I'm like, we have to stop this yelling. And so the other day, my son was like really losing it. I was so proud of myself that I like kept it calm. And I was able to be the calm. And so to me, it's like that is a huge growth. So yes, he's learning to read and he's learning math and he's doing great. But it's also I'm growing and I'm able to go, hey, I can see you're really frustrated right now. Why don't you go take a break in your room? And my husband goes, hey, good job. Like, good job keeping calm. And I like needed that little pat on the back from him too, because normally I'd be like, go to your room. Like, why are you losing it? Like, he throws himself on the ground like a toddler sometimes. And I'm just like, oh my gosh.
He's eight.
That is so hard.
But you know what? One day he'll look back and he'll remember the progress you made. Like he won't be the person who says, well, I came from a yelling household. He'll be the person who, you know, you broke that and it's now something different through the work that you've done. So
yeah,
100%. Sure. Yeah. Well, you sometimes share some stories and encouragement. Where can people find you for that?
On Instagram or TikTok, I share, it's Mama Tracy _, and Tracy is an EY.
And we'll link to that. We'll link to that in the show notes.
Mama Tracy. I share, you know, sourdough recipes and homeschool projects we're doing and like very cute baby videos over there. So it's fun.
And when your second one is 5 and ready to start kindergarten, how are you going to do with that?
That is a good question. And Pam, this is another encouragement to those moms. You just have to take the step that you're doing right now. You know, work in the phase that you're in. Because I have thought about that. I'm like, okay, when she's 5, he's going to be 12. Like, that's a whole different thing. Like, and so it's like, I have to just focus on 8 and 1 right now. Because yes, I am planning to homeschool him all the way through high school. He actually said a couple of days ago, he said something like, yeah, so when I go to high school, it'll be like, blah, blah. I'm like, so you're going to be homeschooled in high school. Just so you're clear.
Yeah, just go ahead and get that ready.
Yeah. But it's like we have a lot of homeschool friends, so I don't think it'll be weird. We'll have like a debate club and prom. There's all these things here. So many people homeschool near me. So that's cool. But it's like, let's just think about what we're doing right now. And that was actually advice someone gave me at my baby shower when I was pregnant with him. It was like, you're going to have the baby and you're going to be thinking about, well, what do I do when he starts school? And what do I do whenever he has a girlfriend? Or what do I do when he wants to get a cell phone? Like, those are all future things that I could worry about. But I got enough to worry about right now. So I plan to homeschool. And I feel like, you know, he'll be more independent when he's 12 and 13. And so I'll able to homeschool kindergarten. To me, homeschooling kindergarten is so fun. And I think that it'll be so much more fun this time because I've already learned the lessons of reading is not necessary by the end of 5 years old. Like, I thought that you had to learn to read by the end of kindergarten. I was like, you have to know all of these things by this point because of the schooling that I had and the way that I thought school was. So now that I'm like, oh, like, other countries don't even teach reading till 2nd and 3rd grade. Like, that's fine. You know? And so, yeah, I feel like a lot more I can just like release it.
I love it. I love it so much. Well, Tracy, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us today. You have a fascinating story and I'm so glad the baby's doing okay. And you guys are rolling with your homeschool and just know you got about 10 more months and then it'll get easier again.
Okay. Well, hey, if any moms are out there who want to pray for me while you're up with your baby in the middle of the night, you know, feel free. Anna Claire is a lovely daughter, but she wakes up in the night and I have to nurse her back to sleep. And it definitely wanes on me in the morning.
So. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, well, we'll keep praying for you. And we're so glad that you came on to chat with us.
Yeah, it's been a fun full circle moment from meeting you and you challenging me and encouraging me. I guess that was, 3 years ago. So, be cool.
That's our show for today. Be sure to follow, subscribe, and leave a review so you never miss out on the wonder of homeschooling better together. To stay connected and learn even more about the Homeschooling Better Together resources and to join our free community, visit hsbtpodcast.com. Until next week, keep stepping out of the overwhelm and into the wonder.